This morning I want to begin by thanking Deborah Morris Bennett. She's an amazing music director and brings incredible melodious selections to our sanctuary each and every Sunday. We are both passionate about our music. I remember during candidating week, when I met with staff, Deborah shared with me as an aside that canned music would never be allowed in worship. But this morning, I am bending the rules slightly. She knows, of course, and I appreciate her patience and her participation and her thoughts as she will be engaging in a collaborative sermon with me this morning. So let's try something different, shall we? Let's rock. And with that in mind, I have a little technical stuff to do here. Grand Funk Railroad. The lead guitar starts out by playing a couple of notes. Bass guitar comes in deep, low, and resonant. The electric guitar plays a chord. And then kicks in the wah-wah pedal, which makes this classic sound. And those drums, they just keep time. The lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter Mark Farner tells the listener,
"Everybody, listen to me and return me my ship. I'm your captain. I'm your captain. Though I'm feeling mighty sick."
How many people know that song? Yeah, okay. He goes on to tell a story about being lost at sea and the fear of a mutiny, and he cries from his cabin alone, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Am I all alone?" I know that feeling. How about you? The words and the music together break something open in the listener. I feel the story more than I can hear it if it were just words. Written in 1970, "I'm Your Captain, Closer to Home" was Grand Funk Railroad's biggest hit. 9 minutes and 59 seconds of pure rock and roll bliss. I was 10 years old when the song was written, recorded, and produced. And it wasn't till I was 12 that I discovered the album in a thrift store. Don't ask me why, but I was compelled and had to have it. It was my first music purchase with my own allowance. I had never owned an album before. I only listened to AM radio, Wolf 1490 on the dial. And what my father played on our TV stereo console system in our living room, mostly classical, opera, and big band, all of which I loved then and I still love now. Yet I played that Grand Funk Railroad vinyl till it was worn out. "I'm Your Captain" was my favorite song on the album, and it was the last in the lineup. It went from hard-hitting to acoustic, adding violins and cellos and a flute, seemingly a full orchestra. And then Farner calls out, "I'm your captain. Yeah, 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 yeah." The bass guitar helps us to find our way home, and the words tell the listener, "I'm getting closer to my home." With the sounds of the surf and the seagulls in the background, you know what I'm telling you, right? You've heard this before. This was a song that truly touched my 12-year-old heart. It made me think about the ocean, something I had never seen before in my life. Being on a boat, something I loved more than anything else, and being closer to home, a place that I have yearned for my entire life. For me, music tells a story that words alone cannot. Ludwig von Beethoven once shared that music is a higher revelation than all wisdom and philosophy. With that, to break me out of falling into a rock and roll chasm, my father, in 1973, purchased the album by Neil Diamond, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Neil Diamond wrote music to accompany the story of the same name written by the author Richard Bach, someone who I would find as a teacher many years later. My father and I listened together and sang together the music that would be so formative in my little life. The book tells the story of a seagull who is bored with the daily squabbles over food. Seized by a passion for flight, he pushes himself, learning everything he can about flying, until finally his unwillingness to conform results in his expulsion from his flock. An outcast, he continues to learn, becoming increasingly pleased with his abilities as he leads a peaceful and happy life. One day, Jonathan is met by two gulls who take him to a higher plane of existence, and that there is no heaven but a better world found through perfection of knowledge, where he meets other gulls who love to fly. He discovers that his sheer tenacity and desire to learn makes him pretty well a one-in-a-million bird. In this new place, Jonathan befriends a wisest gull, Xiang, who takes him beyond his previous learning.
Transcend. Purify. Glorious.
Teaching him how to move instantaneously to anywhere else in the universe. The secret, Chiang says, is to begin by knowing that you have already arrived. Satisfied by his new life, Jonathan returns to Earth to find others like him, to bring them his learning and to spread his love for flight. And his mission is successful, gathering around him others who have been outlawed for not conforming. Kind of sounds like Unitarian Universalism.
Transcend. Purify. Glorious.
And so the music reminds us, transcend, purify, glorious. And with that, I invite Deborah up to share some of her thoughts about music as inspiration.
That's kind of hard to follow. Well, thank you, Marjorie, for inviting me this morning to share this with you. It's obviously a topic that's very important to me.
And I hope many of you.
There's risk here, though. There's so much that I want to say. I'll try and keep it short. I'm going to continue on a Beethoven quote. Another snippet that he wrote was, "Music is the electrical soil in which the spirit lives, thinks, and invents." I'll be sharing with you my own thoughts on how I experience musical inspiration in my life. And also woven throughout will be thoughts from a book called Spirit into Sound, The Magic of Music. This was written and compiled by Mickey Hart. Some of you will know him as a longtime drummer for the Grateful Dead. This is an amazing compilation of his thoughts and research globally and intergenerationally. Lots of comments and quotations. You'll hear a number of them this morning. So I encourage you to seek this book out and read it. I firmly believe we are all music makers, both amateur and professional, regardless of age, gender, or culture. In ancient times, the mysterious and magical nature of music was thought to be beyond the capabilities of ordinary people to invent. So early myths often attributed the origins of music to the gods. As far as we know, no culture has existed without music. It is a rhythmic universe that we live in. Everything alive spins and oscillates in rhythm, so it is only natural that all cultures would respond to this rhythm intuitively. Sound is vibration, the pulsing of air. Organizing the vibrations brings us to music. To have music, we also need to recognize the importance of silence, too. Personally, I need a balance of music and periods of silence. When I can achieve this, I feel more receptive to the power of whatever music I'm experiencing or have just experienced. This is especially so in our current culture of having nonstop oral stimulation around us all the time. For me, this may mean sitting quietly for just a few moments, or riding in the car without any CD or radio on, usually following a concert on my way home. I don't want to confuse my mind with what I've just experienced. It may mean a walk outside, listening to the sounds of nature around me. But nature's never really quiet. But by allowing myself to be drawn into the listening of the chirping of insects or frogs, the wind in the tall grasses or trees, water burbling or waves rolling to the shore, it calms my inner soul, much like meditation does. I find I am then more ready to both create music and also be more receptive to listening to the music created by others. A quote by Gisèle Brillé: "Sound is an event. By its coming, it breaks an original silence, and it ends in a final silence. Music is born, develops, and realizes itself within the silence. Upon silence, it traces out its moving arabesques, which give a form to silence yet does not abolish it." There are several ways I would invite you to think about music in our lives. One, by making music by ourselves. Think about all the times you make music just for and by yourself. I certainly hope you do. Many of you are not even aware you're doing it. Singing in a car when a favorite song comes on, dancing to some background music while you're cooking, a favorite of mine, mindlessly drumming your fingers or tapping your toes to some rhythm, or humming to yourself some random tune when you're engaged in a task. My kids call this an earworm. Do you ever get like a snippet of a tune and you just can't get it out of your head? That's a good thing, not a bad thing. All of this is music making. You're reacting to your own internal vibrations. We all do it. We are all music makers. Think about it. We pray with it, dance to it, sing and have fun with it. We pass the day, drive the car, wash the windows, sip some wine. We eat our meals, wash our clothes, and bury our dead with it. Now consider making music with others. I personally am awed when I hear and watch an orchestra. You could have possibly 100 musicians all playing a wide variety of musical instruments. The playing of these instruments is a physical as well as a mental, emotional activity. An instrument becomes an extension of the player's own body, regardless of the culture or the instrument. And vibrating it with a bow across the strings, with one's own breath, or by the strike of a mallet across a drum membrane, it becomes an intimate form of sensual play. Add to this the diverse group of personalities represented on the stage. The music, the inspiration, happens as soon as the music starts. Each musician becomes focused on contributing their musical line to create a collective oral experience that transcends what is on their individual written scores. This doesn't have to be an orchestra. Any group of musicians playing or singing together will experience that they are greater than the sum of their parts. Given the unpredictability of humans and also of any performance, each musician must be fully engaged with the whole, ready to meet any challenge the performance may present. A true collaboration of body, mind, and spirit. Next, consider the songs we sing for others. Some of my favorite memories are of singing to my children when they were young. It was usually simple songs like Teddy Bear's Picnic or lullabies, quiet songs or silly songs. It doesn't really matter what we sang, and we often sang them over and over and over again, night after night. But they were favorites, well-beloved favorites. Doesn't really matter what we sang. The important part was the sharing of the songs and the closeness it fostered. The ultimate moments came when those small voices started singing along, too. Choral singing in recent years has been the subject of many studies, as scientists have discovered there are actual health benefits to singing in a choir, much more than when singing alone. I find this really interesting. It has been found that collectively, the singer's heart rates quickly come into sync with each other. Doesn't take very long at all. Probably happens when we're singing our hymns. You're all, think about it, we're all breathing at the same phrasings. We're kind of all getting it almost into that mantra. How's that for becoming one with the vibrations of the universe? Then there are the more obvious benefits of singing together, the creation of community and connection with each other. A particularly uplifting choral work for me is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I challenge anyone, regardless of their belief system, to not be moved when the chorus bursts forth with Freude in the middle of the fourth movement. I find it hard to sit in my seat in the concert hall, whether it's a Tanglewood or Symphony Hall. I just want to stand up with them. I can't sit still with that. As a nod to this, I will be playing the hymn Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, which is the same Ode to Joy theme for our postlude this morning. So it's number 29. If you want to sing along with it, please go ahead. Then I was also thinking about music with words and without words. Let's think about music and its pairing with words first. Sometimes words set to music can be a way to express your love, your discontent, your joy, or your sadness. The shape of the musical phrase, the harmonic texture, and yes, even the silences can add depth of meaning to the text. It can take the form of meditation or prayer, but it can also inspire us to take action, to join in solidarity. Think of the powerful hymn, We Shall Overcome, Pete Seeger's songs, or Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind. And music without words can uplift our spirits and make it impossible not to move our bodies with joyful melodies and driving rhythms. According to Mickey Hart, the author of this book, music has many sides. It can seduce or frighten you. It can rattle your bones. It can let you see God. Music without words can also express the most painful, poignant experiences where words fail us. This is music at its most intimate and where the listener is also the most exposed. Music can be healing and calming. It can take us to the depths of sorrow, but it also has the power to mercifully bring us back out of those depths. But you must be willing to experience both dimensions. Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings is often played for momentous events of great sorrow. It was played after the Boston Marathon by many orchestras. Mid-rehearsal, the BSO orchestra manager pulled the scores for it when news came out of JFK's assassination. The orchestra immediately switched gears and played this piece. It was also played globally by many orchestras after 9/11, and I wouldn't be surprised if orchestras are picking it up this week. I would hope so. Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Music is the shorthand of emotion. Emotions which let themselves be described in words with such difficulty are directly conveyed to man in music, and that is its power and significance." My closing thoughts are that music is a uniting force. It gives us happiness and compassion and generates love. It is capable of joining enemies in song and dance, enhancing the health of body and soul, and revealing that we are not so different after all. I leave you with this final quote from Babatunde Olatunji, who is a Nigerian drummer, educator, and social activist. He says, "Where I come from, we say that rhythm is the soul of life, because the whole universe revolves around rhythm. And when we get out of rhythm, that's when we get into trouble."
Well, that's tough to follow. Albert Einstein once shared, "If I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music. I would have to agree with Einstein, when I personally need balance and need to take care of myself, I turn to music. This morning it was Oh Danny Boy with Bing Crosby. Made me think of my mother. Kind of scary. Whether I play guitar or breathe some notes through my flute or listen to a song on the internet, music has inspired me and held me in my grief. I've spent my life singing in the car or in the shower. I've fallen in love to music, and I've been bolstered to speak my truth to music. I was a radical in my early teens. You're probably shocked to hear that. And my 20s. And my 30s. My 40s, of course, definitely. And then, even now, in my 50s. I have protested, and I have marched, and I have leafleted as I listen to the words and music of a man whom I consider to be a justice-seeking leader, Pete Seeger.
We shall overcome.
It was Seeger in 1965 that sang out his song, We Shall Overcome, on the 50-mile walk from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and 1,000 other marchers. I was 4. A piece of music that would go on, become the anthem for the civil rights movement.
Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Music
has been with every human being since the beginning of time. That first mother somewhere hummed to soothe her child to sleep, or a warrior danced to a drum, helping him to calm and steel his nerves. Music gives us patience, strength, and courage. Music, as with any art, has been banned at times and held up as seminal at others. If you want to be truly inspired, turn your ear toward music. The poet Maya Angelou once wrote, "Music was my refuge. I could crawl into the space between the notes and curl my back to loneliness." This is something that Deborah and I have spoke about this morning, and the silence between the notes, and she and I have actually talked about this quite a bit, the silence, that breath between the notes, and how important that place is, and yet in large measure goes unnoticed. Leaving space for air that we breathe is a very important lesson that music can teach us. As Unitarian Universalists, I am surprised, appalled maybe even, that we do not have a principle or source that addresses the importance of music in our religion. But music is not trapped in, but transcends all religion. And honestly, for that, I am truly grateful. Kurt Vonnegut, a lifelong Unitarian Universalist, how many people knew that? Once explained, if I should die, because he probably thought he never would, let this be my epitaph. The only proof he needed for the existence of God was music. Another musical genre that has gained wide acclaim is the music video. Anybody have any sense of when the music video actually became part of our culture?
75.
Believe it or not, music video has been around for as long as we have had talkies. And probably even before, if you think about it. I consider the words, music, and images that we are about to see, because I'm going to show you a video, to be what I would consider emotionally vulnerable. They're definitely challenging, and yet, above it all, very inspirational. The song that I'm going to share with you, the video, is called Beautiful. It's performed by Christina Aguilera, but was written and produced by Linda Perry, a woman who was born right down the road in Springfield, Massachusetts. In many ways, I feel that this video holds us accountable to our first Unitarian Universalist principle, affirming the inherent worth and dignity of all people. So you'll have to give me a minute while I prepare this, and if someone would grab the lights, that would be great.
Thank you. sometimes I think you wait to get that all in.
the flower that is shown at the end of that video, in my humble opinion, is the same flower that Buddha held up in his wordless flower sermon. It silently teaches us about the importance of personal experience. Music is all about personal experience, and what inspires me might be totally different than what inspires you. The real question this morning is, how does music inspire us? How do we listen to music that does inspire us? Music is like self-talk in a lot of ways. Remember last couple weeks ago I was talking about self-talk and you can change your life by changing your self-talk? Same thing is about music. Music's like self-talk. It can bring one up or it can bring one down. Choose wisely. Let us take a moment in silence, honoring those notes. Spirit of life and love, thank you for the presence of music in our lives and in our worship. May we be inspired by it, and may it bring peace unto our hearts as we are reminded by the lyrics that we are not alone, that we will in fact overcome, and that we are all beautiful in every single way. For this we pray. Blessed be. Amen. Please rise in body and or spirit to sing hymn number 108 in the gray hymnal, How Can I Keep From Singing?